A snarl, and they're upon him. An ancient forest spirit at his heels. The only escape is in the Toyota BZ Woodland. John Cho stars in Camping. Test drive Toyota's new all-electric family today. Toyota, let's go places.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063 The Game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Monday morning. Joe, the beginning of NFL free agency, technically on Wednesday, but moves already being made around the league. Chris Jones re-signing with the Kansas City Chiefs officially, so I got my nice apology from Jared Stillman on Saturday night on Twitter.
You did?
I did.
Oh, good. Yeah, good. See, this is why I need to sometimes unmute him for a second to see tweets of – I expect a bunch of tweets today praising John Hines, by the way. But good. I'm glad you got your apology.
Yes, I am too. Chris Jones, by the way, making a lot of money. He tweeted – I did enjoy the – he tweeted at the Chiefs, and it just said A+. Well, I guess that was in – response to the F- grade that Clark Hunt got from the NFL.
Chris Jones tweeted that?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
He said A+. He's like, hey, hey, where to go?
You're an A+ owner.
Hey, where to go, Ed?
You give me this kind of money, you're an A+ owner, buddy.
Oh, man. It was
That's funny.
Really good stuff. So he's back in the fold with Kansas City. Like I said, and we've talked about this, but I was going to believe that they were letting him go when I saw it, just based on how impactful he is for that defense. The final numbers for his contract, based on this coming from Ian Rappaport like 20 minutes ago. 5 years, $158.75 base salary, including $101 million in guarantees, a $30 million signing bonus, and the first 2 years are guaranteed. His 2026 base salary in 2025, $31.75 million per year, the highest paid defensive tackle.
Yeah, man.
It's a lot of money.
They played this, you know, to the point where, well, some people thought they were just going to move on from Chris Jones. Clearly, they were never going to move on from Chris Jones. And even with all of this, you know, back and forth, and he may get out there and just slow play it and whatever, look at that money. My goodness.
But I
get it. They don't win the Super Bowl without him. The guy makes plays. This thing will probably hurt near the end of it, I'm guessing. But it's just – it's the right move to to keep yourself in the mix for Super Bowls. When you get a difference maker up front like that, it's just so valuable. So good for them, good for him, bad for everybody else.
Couple of moves on the quarterback front that have already gone down. So Baker Mayfield re-signs in Tampa Bay. Not a huge surprise there. So they get Mike Evans back in the fold last week, and now over the weekend they've agreed to terms with Baker Mayfield. 3 years, $100 million, 50 of which I believe is guaranteed. So Baker Mayfield, after this time a year ago, not really knowing what his future in the league was going to look like, secures the bag, 3 years, $100 million, 50 million of which is guaranteed. What do you think make of that move for Tampa Bay and for Baker Mayfield?
Yeah, I was really curious to see if they were signing up for that or not. Look, he played really well last year. Think about the playoff game. He made one crucial mistake, but moving up and down the field in a playoff game on the road. And so I get it. I mean, it's almost like teams in the NFC South are like playing a different game because they all think this division sucks. We can win this division. If you win the division, you get a home playoff game. So, you know, like I think if you're a Bucs fan, you still might be sitting there like, yeah, but, you know, I want who's the next QB? Baker Mayfield's still young, though. Baker Mayfield is like so many of these guys who are good quarterbacks, I think, established. They've done enough this league to say, Baker Mayfield, Jared Goff, you know, Kirk Cousins, Ryan Tannehill, to me, put him in good situations, and it's pretty good. Like, quarterback's not a problem for you. Is it the generational talent? No. But what happens is these teams go chasing these generational talents, and they miss, and then you're just in that cycle again. So it's an interesting thing. I get a Bucs fan saying, yes, but I want the next great quarterback. You know, they had Brady at the end of his tenure, and you know who's the they tried with Jameis Winston. Who's the long term answer? But Baker Mayfield could be a pretty good answer.
He played great last year. Now is that going to be what he is moving forward? We'll see. I mean, the one thing that you've got working for you is the receiving core is pretty good. Godwin's good. Mike Evans is good. So obviously that helps. And to his credit, like you said, he played really well last year. So good for him. Gets the big contract, and now we'll see what exactly that translates to for the Bucs in what you described accurately as a terrible division. So we'll see what happens there. The other quarterback move is Russell Wilson going from the Denver Broncos going to the Pittsburgh Steelers on a team-friendly deal. The number I've seen is $1.2 million. So $1.2 million for this coming from Ian Rappaport that the Russell Wilson contract will be in Pittsburgh. So
the Broncos will pay $38
the rest. Million by the Denver Broncos. So obviously Kenny Pickett is there, and we wondered what exactly does that mean? Like, are they still going with Kenny Pickett? Could they bring in a veteran to have a competition with Kenny Pickett? And now it looks like Russell Wilson is that guy. So what do you make of the Wilson to Pittsburgh move? What that means for the Steelers, what it means for Kenny Pickett, and what it means for the rest of the AFC now that that's the quarterback duo in Pittsburgh.
I mean, okay. It just to me, and I've seen a range of opinions. I feel like I follow a lot of Steelers fans, including SE Junie out there likes it.
He does.
I see Ben McKee hates it. There's two Steelers fans we know. But I'm not a fan. I think you're just signing up for like another year of it's just going to be underwhelming, and then you're going to switch back and forth, and it's not going to be that good. Look, I'm just with Arthur Smith. I feel like Ryan Tannehill would have been the better way to go for them. I really do. I feel like Ryan Tannehill would have been a better way to go than Russell Wilson at this point in Russell Wilson's career. Maybe he'll prove me wrong. And that's not even taking into account all the stuff that's come out in the last year about how hard it is to be his teammate.
Yeah.
I mean, like, all those Seahawks guys are now finally, like, opening up and like, hey, let me tell you about this dude.
Yeah.
And then, you know, all the stuff in Denver, and I don't like it. I mean, I think, you know, like, if there's a coach in the league – who can be like, hey, Russ, shut up and let's play quarterback and let's leave the crap aside. Tomlin would be high on that list. But I just don't think he's that good anymore. I don't think he's a very good player anymore.
I agree with you. I am interested to see. I mean, look, I think George Pickens is a stud, and I like some of the pieces they have offensively. Like, I still – like, Najee Harris to me should be a lot better than he is. I guess at this point it just kind of is what it is with him. So not that he's a bad player.
He's fine.
I thought he could be like electric at the NFL level. And he's okay. He's good. So I do like some of the pieces they have on offense, but I'm with you. Like the Russell Wilson part of this, number one, his play on the field has gone down pretty dramatically over the last couple of years. And number two, like it's pretty clear people don't really like him. So what's that going to mean in Pittsburgh? Does he change up whatever he's been doing and try to, I guess, be more intentional with his teammates? Does he get an office in Pittsburgh? Does he get his own room?
I'm going to guess no.
Hey, Mike, I really need you to clear out the left side of this wall over here and build an office for me.
Yeah, Mike, does your office need to be this big? You know?
I just need
like 2/3 of it.
Yeah, I don't know that this moves the needle all that much for Pittsburgh. Like, is he better than Kenny Pickett? Probably, but I think Kenny Pickett's pretty bad, just based on what I've seen. So, is that going to give you a chance? Like, Mike Tomlin somehow always finds a way to be right there and have a winning record and all these things. So, I have no doubt that Pittsburgh will find some way to cobble together another 9-8 record next year and be in the mix in the last week of the regular season. But I don't expect anything more than that based on their quarterback situation.
Yeah, like you're watching highlights right now, you know, on ESPN. I mean, he was 26-8 TD to pick last year, which is those are good numbers.
Yep.
But I think he's a decent quarterback. And then with all the other stuff that you're potentially bringing in there, I don't know. It just seems like you're kind of just punting. I thought maybe – I mentioned Tannehill, but I thought also maybe, okay, now the Steelers are going to try to go – you know, get their guy. I'd love to know how they – do they straight up view this as competition? Let's go split reps for a while and just see. Like, who you know, maybe this elevates Pickett and he's ready to take a step and they're not totally giving up on him. Or is it just like sign up for a year, Russ, and They're already like, Kenny Pickett is heading the way of Mac Jones, traded for a six-round pick to be a backup quarterback somewhere else.
I guess that's the other quarterback move. Mac Jones traded to the Jags for a six-round pick, which had, for some reason, like Titans Twitter yesterday, I was like, oh, Trevor Lawrence? This is what they think about Trevor Lawrence?
What?
Like, no, guys, this, Mac Jones is terrible. And he's now the backup quarterback in Jacksonville.
You need to name names on which type.
I just saw. I need to go back and look. But whenever big moves happen, I somehow get on my For You page on Twitter.
Right. Yeah.
Titans fans that I have no idea who they are and that I don't follow get thrown into my feed, and it's just like, oh, Trevor Lawrence must be shaking his boots
today.
And Mac Jones is the backup quarterback.
Yeah, they just pulled off a huge deal to unseat their number one overall pick by dealing a six-round pick. That's genius.
I mean, if it works that way.
Well, if it turns out that he ends up winning the job, becoming a great quarterback, and that's even better than the Titans giving a fourth for Ryan Tannehill.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, a former Titan already on the move in NFL free agency, which – it's a very interesting fit. We'll get into that coming up next as well. More on NFL free agency. Your thoughts at 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. NFL free agency, the quote-unquote legal tampering period, I guess technically begins today here in a couple hours. But moves already coming in left and right in the NFL. Kevin Byard agreeing to a 2-year contract with the Chicago Bears. There were no financial terms disclosed, but ESPN reporting that the deal is worth $15 million. So we'll see, you know, what's guaranteed and what that looks like. But a $15 million deal for Kevin Byard to join the Chicago Bears. So obviously traded from here to Philadelphia. Philadelphia moves on and cuts Kevin Byard. And before the official beginning of free agency, Kevin Byard signing with the Chicago Bears. What did you make of that move for Kevin Byard and him being the first safety off the board in free agency with a group, Joe, that's got a lot of names? There's a lot of big-time safety names out there in the free agent class this offseason.
Pleasantly surprised for him because, yeah, first of all, it's a flooded market of safeties. It's not like he went to Philly and was the missing piece at all. I mean, I honestly, you know, from what I saw, he didn't make a lot of impact. It wasn't great. And, it's been going the wrong way. Not unexpectedly the wrong way. He's just getting older. You know, he's still a good player, but he's not the player he was in the Titans. Gave him a huge contract, which at the time was a good deal. And I still think in the end it was a good deal. Yeah, like you said, 2-year 15, is it up to 15?
Right.
You know, agents do that, and then it's like it's actually up to 15 with this. And then, of course, it's like, you know, likely to reach, whatever the term is, you know, the certain incentives. But I'm pleasantly surprised for him to get scooped up like that. And, that's good to see. Very interesting. He's an NFC guy now, bouncing around the NFC,
joining Chicago. And, you know, first off, I'm with you. Good for him. Like, Kevin Byard, obviously a really good guy. So hoping to see things work out really well for him in Chicago and hope the money works out well for him too. You know, last year, I mean, the numbers, he had the one pick in Philadelphia. He did have 122 tackles last year, which is a lot of tackles. That's a career high in tackles that he had last year between the Titans and the Eagles.
Tells you what kinds of defenses he was on.
Kevin Byard, a tackling machine with people getting in the secondary all the time last year. But I'm interested to see what that looks like for him. You know, it is, you know, we talked about it. People are moving on from their safeties. Like, it's pretty clear this offseason that safety has been devalued and people are looking at their roster, even with the salary cap going up a ton of money, and they're saying, all right, we're paying too much money to safeties, and they're cutting safeties and they're moving on. So obviously the safety market, the money just probably isn't going to be there for the most part for these guys. And you got all kinds of safeties out there. I mean, Eddie Jackson was in Chicago. They cut him, and they move on from Eddie Jackson. Byard is his replacement. You know, the Honey Badger is out there. There's all kinds of safeties that are out there. And I'm interested to see, number one, what that market looks like and how what teams are willing to spend on some of these upper echelon safeties as free agency goes through here. But like if it goes cheaper and you can get a really good safety on a reasonable deal, do the Titans look around and say, you know what, we could use another safety and it's really not going to cost us that much money in the grand scheme of things to get a really good player?
No, absolutely. No, I think it's very possible. It's just so far, well, not so far, but it's down the list a little bit of things you think about this team needs. But yeah, you can't draft everything. I mean, I could advocate for the Titans to draft two linemen and two receivers, you know.
Absolutely.
Depending on what happens here, so I think we will see a signing for sure. There's Pro Football Network. This is Adam Kaplan, friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Who is reporting multiple sources that the Titans are going to be fairly aggressive in free agency.
Okay.
Chidobe Awuzie, of course, I think certainly is totally makes sense as a pursuit at corner, but also he mentioned C.J. Gardner-Johnson. So, okay. And
that would be a safety.
I believe yes, that would be a safety, and I believe the same. Now, what will materialize? This is recruiting, man. This is recruiting right now. So, what will they get? Some of these top targets, I don't know, but I think they're definitely going out there ready to spend for sure.
The safeties out there: Jamal Adams, Justin Simmons, who got cut by Denver, Eddie Jackson, Quandre Diggs, Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer out there from the Bills the other day. I think Micah Hyde might retire. We'll see what happens there. He's 33.
Yeah.
And then Darnell Savage from the Packers are out there. So, I mean, there's a lot of quality safeties out there that I don't think it's going to cost you a ton. So, like you said, it's not going to be the top priority for the Titans. But could you, I mean, Buda Baker, I didn't even say him. He's going to be out there too. Could you find a little bit later in free agency a safety that's still sitting out there that you're like, yeah, we'll take, I don't know, Quandre Diggs for $4 million, put him back there? Yeah, we'll do that for a year.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. What fits the scheme and all that, you know, obviously that matters, but yeah, I wouldn't even be surprised. You know, is it would it be shocking if like late that if they signed two?
No,
and like you know, because they really do need to, they need to mix it up back there for sure. Think about like the and this was in camp, of course, when oh my gosh, his name eludes me, got hurt, and they signed Kenny Vaccaro, who actually ended up being an upgrade.
Cyprian,
thank you, Jonathan Cyprian. You know, ended up being a really nice signing for them, low cost, and. You know, so safeties are all over the place out there. Running backs are all over the place out there. No coincidence. You know, those are the two positions. And there's a big difference. I mean, the running back is just the devaluing the running back is well beyond any other position. But safety is definitely going that way, too. We haven't seen – it's been a while since we've seen, like, the safety who commands a game, you know. The way like Ed Reed used to and Troy Polamalu used to. We're far away from that now.
Colts announcing a signing, linebacker Zaire Franklin, 3 years, $31.26 million contract extension. That's coming from Adam Schefter this morning. So the Colts retaining Zaire Franklin, signing him to a three-year deal.
Good player.
Worth over $31 million. He is a good player, and he has made some good plays against the Titans. So the Colts holding on to a big piece there. We're going to start to see these moves come in pretty hot and heavy.
Yeah. We may actually, have some – we're getting some news on
our
show.
News on our show, which is maybe the only week of the year that that actually happens. What does the fact that we have not seen a deal for Denico Autry yet in the Titans suggest to you about what that can mean coming up this week? Still some time.
Yeah.
Still some time to get that done.
Yeah, I mean, teams can start the – so it's 11 a.m. Today,
correct.
Our time is when teams can start actually like officially talking to you know free agents out there. So,
officially in air quotes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know. I mean, I can make the case. I would make the case to try to re-sign him. He's just a heck of a football player. I thought that last year we might start to see some decline, you know, and he is getting up there. So I'd be surprised if he didn't want to come back. But then again, you know, Terrell Williams is gone, Vrabel's gone. So maybe if you're him, you're like, yeah, I don't know, different scheme. Maybe he feels like he can do a little bit better out there. But look, you get to the open market, you often get overpaid.
Yep.
So I don't know what it means, but the more time goes on, I guess the less likely he's going to be back here.
By the way, San Francisco last night releasing Eric Armstead, their stud defensive lineman. Now, they kind of move him around a little bit. He only played 12 games last year, so I think they approached him with a pay cut. He did not take it, and they moved on. He played in 9 games in 2022 and 12 last year, so 2 years in a row where injuries have been a problem for him. He's a really good player, but 6'7", 290 pounds, has only played in 21 games the last 2 years. So San Francisco moving on from him at the age of 30.
And I don't know the cap numbers, but I promise you that's a factor. Also, because multiple things can be true at once, I mean, that's an example of, wow, what a great player to release him. But, I mean, these guys' bodies just get battered. And he seems definitely like a guy who's going that way.
I agree. Now, I also, anytime somebody from San Francisco gets released now, I always say, okay, well, what does Rand Carthon think about him?
Yeah.
Does Carthon want to take a flyer on a guy that, now that he's been released from the contract, probably you could get in a little bit cheaper? Could that be a potential target for the Titans now that he's out there?
Yeah, no doubt. And also, just thinking of Zaire Franklin with the Colts, I mean, that's another, you know, I think the Titans need to get in there and sign another linebacker too.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean,
there's going to be a lot. I think they're going to do a lot of things later like that. Can they actually get something done early? That tells you that they won a battle.
Well,
they win any big battles here early in this week?
Will they be big spenders this week? Will this be a week where the Titans are making some moves, spending the money that they've got available to them, and addressing some big needs that they have in free agency? We'll get into all that coming up next. Who could be some targets for the Titans this week? We'll take your thoughts. 615-737-1025, our phone number. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Monday morning. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up at 745. Corey Curtis from News 2 joining the program at 8 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and NFL free agency, which is underway this week. A lot of moves already coming in around the league. We'll see how involved the Titans get. And that's really the question. We know the litany of needs the Titans have. There's a lot. We can point to a lot of different needs the Titans have. How much of that is going to be addressed not only in free agency, but more specifically like the first couple of days of free agency when teams are spending money left and right and guys in a lot of cases are getting overpaid. You know, if you're going to get some of the top names in free agency, most of the time that requires you to overpay to some degree. So the Titans have plenty of room to operate with from a salary cap perspective. How active do we expect the Titans to be this week? And if they are aggressive this week and they do spend a lot of money on the first couple of days of free agency, where do we think that most likely comes? A corner to me makes the most sense when you start thinking about needs that they have and the draft capital that's in play here. Like, to me, it feels like they're going to have to spend some money at cornerback this week.
Yeah, like, well, they're going to want to. I understand, like, if they don't end up spending big money early in the period, then I understand that Titans fans are going to be like, oh, cheap ownership, right? I don't believe that. I truly believe that they are resolved to go do some big things. You just have to win. So, Awuzie or Fuller, I think that's your best options, unless you're out there trying to swing a trade.
I like Fuller. The more I dig in on Fuller, the more I think that's who they should be all in on.
I like him. Yeah, I like him. Either of those guys to me would be worth spending money, and they would spend money, and it's just a matter of, and you know, with Awuzie, obviously you wonder, okay, do you have a little bit of an edge because of Callahan, even though it's, you know, the other side of the ball, but still they're in the building together. So you were mentioning this during the break, Mitch Morse.
Yeah. Going to the Jags. So he was released last week by Buffalo at center and now going to Jacksonville. And I had that in front of me a minute ago, and I'm going to pull it up again right now.
Yeah, 2 year, 10.5, 2 year, guaranteed.
There you go. So that's Jags making moves early. Mac Jones and Mitch Moore, that AFC East, all come down there to Jacksonville.
Watch out, yeah. And well, that was one of those cuts from the Bills that, you know, it's like, yeah, pretty good player. Quite a few good players they cut there. Some of them make more sense than others, other than, you know, you have to be compliant.
You have to be compliant.
With the cap.
But that's a potential center target that the Titans now don't have available to them. And that's another position, whether it's this week or on down the road here in free agency, that I'm interested to see whether or not they address is
yes.
up the middle at center.
They need to. Interior.
Yep.
A straight up, like a center, or, you know, at least a guard, both. Somebody can play both. Multiple guys. Yeah, I think that happens. Again, there's a lot of things that I think they're going to end up addressing. You sign quite a few players a little bit later for not, you know, you can add it up and it'll be a decent spending, but can they get in here and get something big done early this week? That's the big question to me.
Kyle in Shelbyville on the text line. Why is Andre Dillard still on this team? This is from Kyle on the text line. They have not released Andre Dillard yet.
They have not. Well.
Is he coming back?
I don't know. I don't know. I thought that was an absolute lock. You know, there is a fair amount of dead money cutting him. Like, the savings for Dillard aren't great. I think it's like $3 million in savings once you take everything into account. Now, to me, if you overall have a net gain of $3 million and you don't have Andre Dillard on your team anymore, that's a win. That's a win-win. But, hey, man, when you have Bill Callahan, maybe it's like, hey,
Jeff
Stoutland couldn't figure it out, but now Bill Callahan is going to show you why he's OL coach one.
They can't
in this
do
league.
This. No.
No, I don't. I mean, I don't.
He better be released here the next couple of days. They can't do this.
Yeah. I mean, I think he will be, but I don't know. People want the Titans fans want that. You know, they want that tweet. Andre Dillard has been released. They want it badly.
What if they don't get it? What a reaction, man. That'll be.
Hey, you know what? I'm fascinated. Popcorn. Going with the popcorn.
A lot of popcorn. Ed on the text line, do you think the Titans can do enough in free agency to make the first pick less predictable than it is right now, talking about number 7 overall? I mean, to me, regardless of what you do in free agency, it's probably still going to be either a left tackle or a wide receiver. The left tackle part of it, the answer is no. Like, there's nothing available in free agency at left tackle for them, at least
Zero.
In my opinion, for them to have solved left tackle heading into the draft. So from that standpoint, no. They could go out and spend money on wide receiver if you wanted them to, and we'll see whether or not they do that. I still think, regardless of if they went out and signed, you know, a wide receiver, it's still a need in the draft for them coming up. So to answer the question, no, I don't think there really is anything they can do, especially at left tackle. Like, it just is what it is. If you're going to find a franchise left tackle, it's going to have to come through the draft, or I guess a trade.
Without question. Yeah, they're not. And I'm just underwhelmed by the receivers. And this, I know, the Kaplan thing I mentioned there, Darnell Mooney is just, you know, constantly, hey, then bring him in, okay? Sure. You give it a try. Yeah, I mean, the guy can, he has some speed, but, you know, I don't think he's going to be a huge answer for them. And then, you know, the Ridley thing is interesting. I don't know. I mean, I think Pekarski may be overplaying the whole, oh, if he gets money, he's going to, you know. Okay, so some people speculate that if he gets a big payday, it'll be bad. I don't know. But is
keeping away from the sports books.
Well, yeah, exactly. He's good. That signing would be, okay, he has the talent to come in here and actually really make a difference for the receiving corps. Other than that, though, yeah, I think the draft has to be where they really address both of those things in terms of difference-making long-term player, and then you just have to make the right choices.
You got to make the right choices. And, look, you know, I don't mind them having interest in Calvin Ridley. My question, like, how much money is Calvin Ridley about to make? Just because he's the best free agent potentially on the market at wide receiver, I mean, do you really want to get yourself involved in, like, paying Calvin Ridley $20-some-odd million? He's good. I don't know if he's that good.
Yeah. No, I understand the trepidation on that. You know, I do look at, like the Jags a couple years ago when they went nuts.
Yeah.
And we had a good time at their expense. It ended up being, I mean,
Christian Kirk
worked out better than, like, I would have thought, you know. It's not bad to have – like a lot of different people that your quarterback like to throw to. But I would, if you gave me a choice of yay or nay, I'd pass and look at the draft, and I'd try to address corner, interior offensive line, and then some other, and, you know, some other spots as well. But corner, interior offensive line, and yeah, look, I mean, safety. They're going to get a safety, probably not for that much, and they have to get a safety.
I still like the idea. I mean, obviously now we know it's not going to be Chris Jones, but I still like the idea of whether it's Christian Wilkins or Armstead's now out there now. And, you know, Armstead's not, he's not Chris Jones out there, but like the idea of kind of loading up next to Jeffrey Simmons and seeing what you can do there, I think is still on the table and should be on the table for the Titans.
No, you're right. And that's, I should have said that. No question. No, if you can get one of those guys, and I know it is a little bit, I'm a little bit worried with Armstead and his health and all that stuff, but I agree. Obviously, especially if Autry is going to be elsewhere next year, you need to, because Autry and Simmons has been awfully effective. Adam Portland said, we better spend, so help me God, she said she would, speaking of Amy. I expect to get better before my workday ends. Anything less will make me puke.
There you go.
And this is, I think Adam speaks for a lot of people. Again, if they don't, I really don't think it's because Amy's like, nah, sorry. Save my money. You can't just spend. There you go.
You better not touch any of my money in 3 weeks. We got a new stadium to help pay for. We're not spending any of that money right now.
There you go.
Ran, you stop.
Stop it, Ran. You really can't just spend to spend, right?
No.
So, we'll see. I really think if they don't, it's because they lost. I mean, for some of these players, I mean, how many free agents out there are actually going to be hotly pursued by several teams? There's not a lot.
Not a ton.
There's not a lot. I think those two corners probably both will be.
Yeah.
So you might lose.
What do you think of this? I saw this over the weekend, and it made me raise my eyebrow a little bit. Tom Pelissero put it out there that Nick Folk, who leads the NFL in field goal percentage over the past four seasons, is expected to test the free agent market. He made 29 out of 30 kicks last year for the Titans. They did have a couple of extra points that went awry, and a couple of those were due to injury when Stonehouse got killed last year. But what did you make of Nick Folk apparently testing the market in free agency, and what do you think that means for the Titans in that position, which continues to just be an absolute roller coaster?
Well, maybe a new regime, and they're going to find the young kicker who's actually good enough to keep and have a nice, cheap, long-term option. I would try to bring back Nick Folk, personally.
Yes, me too. Just add it to the list. We got what's one more need? Go get another kicker.
Yeah, maybe that's his call.
Could be.
You know, if that's the case, all right. Well, maybe Kuharski bothered him so much in those locker room interviews that he's like, I can get the heck out of here. I don't know. There's always different factors that we don't know. But if I'm the Titans, you want him next year. And, yeah, you continue to search for – it's a great thing to be able to search for your next long-term kicker when you have a guy like that. It's not like Gostkowski a few years ago. Like, Folk was very good, despite the terrible predictions of some.
He made 29 out of 30 kicks and 28 out of 30 extra points. And at least one of those extra – I don't remember both extra points. I remember one was Tannehill trying to hold it after Stonehouse had gotten obliterated. So
I don't remember the other miss.
Yeah.
No, he was excellent. You want him as your kicker.
I feel like there's a lot of overthinking going on. I'm hoping, from the Titans' perspective, that it was just him saying, yeah, I'm going to test the market, and I'll circle back with you.
Yeah. And, again, just like, I don't blame anybody for doing that.
Sure.
If that's what Autry's doing, too. Like, let's see who wants to ridiculously overpay me. And Byard, again, I want to see the nitty-gritty on Byard.
Yeah.
When I saw that number at first, I was like, what?
That has to be agent speak.
Incentive-aided?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, we'll see what it is. But you can get overpaid very easily in this league when you go to the open market.
Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode. We'll do that. Rex Rode's fired up about his rant this morning. I'm looking forward to it. Robbie and Rexrode, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well,
Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Go find you somebody from Sweden or something and pay him and give him some Botox. You'll be good, Joe.
I mean, everything is slim fitting on me at this point, at this time of year.
I'm just sick and tired of our guys getting smashed down there. Smashed! Joke!
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning here on the program. Joe Rexroad's rant of the day. Joseph, happy Monday. The floor is yours.
Thank you. Actually, maybe do I, for the rest of this month, just make the rant about college basketball every time?
I bet you would love that.
You would love that, wouldn't you?
You would say that as if it wasn't going to happen anyway. Yes, you're going to.
No, I mean, I have some randos, too, including these headphones. Which I found a way to get both ears to work. It's like the rabbit ears on your TV, your Zenith in 1981, if you sort of wiggle it a little bit. Yeah. But, yeah, let's talk about one thing in particular, which is the South Carolina LSU game. Yesterday was an incredible day for women's college basketball. It's been an incredible run for women's college basketball. Caitlin Clark and Iowa coming back to beat Nebraska, and she's out there hitting step back, ridiculous shots in overtime. She's just tremendous. Just a tremendous player, and they're going to be a one seed. They're not that good. I don't think they're going to get to the Final Four. But, I mean, frankly, I hope they do because I want to keep watching her play. It's not just the shooting. It's everything. She has the game on a string. And so that was fantastic. And then LSU South Carolina in the title game, which we talked about earlier, Tennessee should have been in the title game against LSU a year after beating LSU in this tournament, but Camila Cardozo hits a bank three with 1 second left, and people standing there looking on in absolute astonishment.
Unguarded.
Yeah, so you have South Carolina LSU. It was a great game. I had a place with some pizza yesterday. You got that game on one screen, you got the Preds wild on the other screen, and all of a sudden, boom, Cardozo absolutely just levels someone, and then some dude randomly jumps out of the crowd. Our Elijah Campbell, who is there covering that, and he's just like going nuts about it on Twitter. So in the end, also ESPN announcers totally screwed this up and said that they're all going to be suspended for the first game of the NCAA tournament. So basically both teams were going to have like five players available, but that's wrong. Cardozo is, though, which won't matter because South Carolina will win by a million against whatever 16 they play. But I just wanted to highlight the two coaching reactions to that incident, which there were some other pushing and shoving. It was a big deal. Mostly it was Cardozo just, you know, going like Lester Hayes on a receiver in the 70s, you know. But here, the two reactions from each coach. So first we have who? Okay, so here's what Dawn Staley said. Dawn Staley, South Carolina coach, said about the incident after the game.
The players. It's all about the players being able to make plays on both sides of the basketball. You know, I just want to apologize to the basketball community. You know, when you're playing in championship games like this, in our league, things get heated. No bad intentions. They just try. Their emotions got so far ahead of them that sometimes these things happen. So I want to apologize for us playing a part in that, because that's not who we are and that's not what we're about. But I'm happy for the players that were able to finish the game and get us another championship.
Coach, how will you address this with your team?
We're going to talk about it. We've always talked about it. Never leave the bench. You know, never get too high with the highs or low with the lows. It's hard when you're playing. I played this game a long time, and I can't tell you I was a saint at all times. Okay? Your emotions get the best of you. It's unfortunate that the players that got ejected can't be a part of the celebration.
Okay, so that apologize. Yeah, look, it's not acceptable. Apologize to everybody. We'll address it. It's emotional, all that. So, I mean, if you watched the game, Cardozo and Angel Reese, like, it was – I mean, like, Angel Reese actually at one point just pulled her hair pretty blatantly.
Hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah, and they were just talking, and yeah, I mean, it's great. I mean, that's – rivals. I mean, it was good stuff. And then, you know, went too far. So here's what Kim Mulkey, who had just, well, here's what she said for the game.
No one wants to be a part of that. No one wants to see that ugliness. But I can tell you this. I wish she would have pushed Angel Reese. Don't push a kid. You 6'8". Don't push somebody that little. That was uncalled for, in my opinion. Let those two girls that were jawing, let them go at it.
And there's Kim Mulkey with her reaction. Just a little, a nice little slice of the reality of these two coaches and the level of class that both of them possess. So,
come push this kid, says Kim Mulkey. Also, we probably should play. There was an on-court interview with her, and I don't even remember what the question was, but she is an absolute bully. She is, like, it's almost impossible. It has to be, like, to talk to her, you know? And she just completely dressed down the sideline reporter for a totally reasonable question, and that's the type of stuff she does all the time. So, in the end, I guess this is kind of an example of why Dawn Staley is, like, one of the best coaches in American sports and, you know, is someone that everyone respects. And Kim Mulkey does win a lot. She does win a lot. You cannot take away that Kim Mulkey wins a lot, but, oh, my goodness. What a contrast.
I just can't get over what she's wearing out there half the time. It's like, what's Kim Mulkey got on today? Oh, there's feathers coming out of it. Cool.
Yep. I think I've told the story of the 2005 national title game. I think it was like blue pleather. It was interesting.
Blue pleather.
I don't know how any other way to explain it, but it was even with that, you know. And Cardozo, look, she did go too far. Okay,
there's no question.
She did go too far. So like it was good that, like, I get being upset if you're the other coach. And it's good that Dawn Staley apologized, because ultimately the one big blow delivered was by Cardozo, and she deserves to be suspended and all that stuff. But there's ways to handle things and ways to not handle things.
I thought it was a really good game. Like, I was actually caught some of it, and it was a really good game. And, you know, those two teams, South Carolina's undefeated. LSU won the national championship last year, so there's a natural kind of rivalry embedded there anyway. That just went to a completely different level yesterday, by the way. But I'm hoping they see each other again come tournament time. It'd be fun.
They could. Yeah, that would be great. That would be great. You know, South Carolina's going to be a one.
Yeah.
You know, Iowa will be two. Like, I mean, LSU, like, both of those teams, frankly, no disrespect. All due respect, Iowa.
Yes.
Both those teams are a lot better than Iowa. But unless Caitlin Clark has a 45-point game,
which she can do.
Yeah, so anything is possible, but I think LSU and South Carolina could meet deep in the tournament for sure. And Tennessee will be in the tournament. You know, they're in. It's okay. It's fine. I would say at some point, I'm not as down on the whole last play in terms from a coaching perspective as some are, but I will say that overall, it's a little bit underwhelming where this program is right now.
Yeah. I don't think she's in danger yet of losing her job, but another year like this one probably starts to get there.
Yeah, look, I think Danny White is a guy who is going to resource the heck out of his coaches, and he is doing that.
Yeah.
And in turn,
better produce.
He's not pulling any punches either. And I think it's a very different vibe over there with him as AD. So, especially when you talk about people that the AD didn't hire. Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think that she would be in danger of being fired. But at this point, you look at it and you're like, yeah, they've been okay. They've been pretty good.
Yeah.
But that's not what Tennessee should be. They should be better than pretty good.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2. We'll get his thoughts on the Predators, their 12-game point streak, and the beginning of NFL free agency as well. All that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.